Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to Wonderland on Points, everybody. We're so happy you're here. It is Mary Ellen and Joe. How's it going, Joe?
Oh, it is going. It is going. It is a busy summer week. I am just keeping my head above water right now and kind of excited about the school year, to be honest.
Oh my goodness. Yes. It's so hard. We look forward to summer, but man, the lack of a schedule week to week, the lack of consistency is really a lot. I'm glad that summer is a definitive time frame and then we get back into routine.
Absolutely. And I know that I am not a mom to three, but I am a nanny slash household manager to three. And usually in the school year, it's just me and the one little baby. We do all the same things. It's very easy and simple. And I always know what to expect. And with the three, they're always going different places. They're always fighting with each other. And it's just like, I feel blessed that I go home at the end of the day to my one 12-year-old. And I'm like, you're so peaceful. But so I don't know what I'm complaining about because I get to give them back at the end of every day. But man, it exhausts you in a new way. So I feel for you, mamas of multiples, you included. But anyways, we're excited about this episode today because we had on another podcast host and she is a lot of fun. She's kind of new to the points and miles world, just like dipping her toes in, had a pretty cool redemption in Asheville, North Carolina, which we're going to talk about today in the podcast. But I think before we got into all of that, we wanted to give you the current elevated sign-up bonus roundup so that you know what you can be looking out for. So let's start with hotels.
Yeah, there's some great cards out right now. This time of year seems to be when a lot of elevated sign-up bonuses start popping off. And three of the major hotel chains all have some interesting offers right now. So we like to say, especially when you're starting out with points and miles, you should be focused more on cards that have flexible point currencies. Your Chase Sapphire, Amex Gold, Capital One Venture, Venture X cards, all of those have transferable points that can transfer to airlines, transfer to hotels. But once you've been in the points and miles world a little bit, or if you have a very specific vacation in mind, you may want to look at hotel cards. And three hotel cards have really great offers right now. So the first one I actually just signed up for, actually my player two just signed up for, the IHG One Premier credit card. Now, IHG, that's Kempton, that's Holiday Inn Express.
That's what I always think of as the Holiday Inns.
Yeah, it's Staybridge Inn and Suites, I believe. There's quite a few. It's a wide range. They have, I think, 17 different brands that are all under the IHG umbrella. Mm-hmm. So the IHG One Premier card currently has, this is their highest ever offer, and it's 5 free night certificates. So it's a little different than points. Free night certificates have a max cap on them. And for this offer, it's 60,000 points. Each of those 5 free nights can be worth up to 60,000 points. And it expires a year after you earn those free night certificates. So you have a year to make this happen. So if you had an IHG hotel in mind, maybe a beach trip you go on every year, a spring break trip that you know you want to use those nights, then this card is a really great deal, because if you get something that's in the 50 to 60,000 point range, then that sign up bonus is worth a lot.
Another thing about this card is that it comes with a free night on your anniversary. The anniversary night only is up to 40,000 points, but you can top it off with additional points. So let's say you found something you wanted to stay at that was 60,000 points a night. You could transfer over some Chase points to top off your free night. And I believe right now Chase has an 80% transfer bonus to IHG. Sounds like it would be a really good deal. Of course, we know that the value of IHG is not always amazing. And so depending on what kind of redemption you wanted to do, maybe that would be good, maybe it wouldn't. But it's just something to keep in mind when you're thinking about this. I mean, really, if you have any kind of family vacation in mind for a year, for this year, what makes IHG so amazing is they really are everywhere. I mean, if I want to stay in a Hyatt in St. Louis, I have one option. If I want to stay in an IHG, I can go anywhere in the city, basically. So, I mean, even for a staycation or something fun like that, like this to me seems like a very valuable card, and I'm thinking about doing it as well.
And you know, IHG even has a big footprint in Europe and internationally. It's much bigger than the Hyatt brand. So that's another thing that drew me to this card. Couple fine details. This offer ends at the beginning of September. So you do have a little bit of time. You have throughout August if you're considering this offer. You get automatic platinum elite status. And just to clarify, you're going to always want to read fine print. We're kind of pointing you to cards, but make sure you read the fine print. The 5 free night certificates that max out at 60,000 points per night, those expire in a year and they cannot be topped off. The one that can be topped off is the one that you get on your anniversary every year. And this is a $99 annual fee card. But when you see that you get one free night every year, then that's kind of a keeper for me. I think that's some of these hotel cards you could keep year after year because the annual fee is usually $100 or less. And if they come with a free night every year, then that pays off pretty well.
Like a very interesting card. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I thought long and hard about it. The other two hotel cards that we'll mention really quickly, Marriott just came out with the Marriott Bonvoy Bold card that has a no annual fee card, and you earn 60,000 points for the sign-up bonus, plus one free night certificate up to 50,000 points. That's the sign-up bonus, 60,000 points plus a free night certificate. After only $2,000 spend in 3 months, which is super easy to do. Now, this one is not available to you if you currently have a different Marriott card or if you've earned a sign-up bonus for a Marriott card in the last 24 months. But if you are new to Marriott cards or if it's been a couple years, that's one that you might want to look into.
For sure. With this card and the one I'm about to mention, just remember to make sure that you have a trip in mind, I think, for these, because 50,000 points will not go very far at a lot of Marriott's. And so you want to make sure you can actually use these, then that you're looking for hotels that fall within that range. So definitely do research before jumping on these. The other one is the Hilton Honors American Express card. And the sign up for that is 70,000 points and one free night certificate after 2,000 spend in 6 months, which is nice and low and over a long period of time. And this is also a no annual fee card. So but Hilton, as with Marriott, they have very high redemptions. It is interesting to think about the American Express points transfer to Hilton 1 to 2. So these points in combination with some Amex points might be able to get you a really nice trip depending on where you're going. So again, research, look into it all. Make sure you have a plan. Don't just be jumping on something because it sounds good, because not all points are created equal. 70,000 points with Hilton is not the same as 70,000 points with Hyatt. So yeah, but these are still really cool hotel card offers. I think we're going to move on to the business cards right now. There's a very exciting Chase Inc. Bonus at the moment.
Yeah, everybody in the points and miles world has been chattering about the Chase Inc. Business Preferred. This is the business version of the Chase Sapphire Preferred. Mm-hmm. So again, it is kind of a gatekeeper card. If you do not have the Chase Sapphire Preferred personal card or Chase Sapphire Reserve personal card, then this preferred business card will be your gatekeeper for how you can transfer Chase Ultimate Rewards points to transfer partners. Now, you do not need this card if you have already one of the preferred, I call them gatekeeper cards because they're like the way that you can transfer points. If you have the Sapphire Preferred or Reserve, you don't have to have this card. But right now with the elevated sign-up bonus, it might be a fun option for you. The new elevated offer is 120,000 points after 8K spend in 3 months, and it has a $95 annual fee. So many people are used to the Chase Inc. business cards, the cash and the unlimited cards that have no annual fee. Just make a mental note that this is the business card, one of them that has an annual fee, but that sign-up bonus is really fantastic. 120,000 Chase points.
Valuable.
That can go a long way. Yep.
Yes, it can. But again, as with everything, like make sure that you are making smart choices for your family, for your budget. $8,000 in 3 months is not necessarily easy for a lot of families to do. We could not do it. I want this card so bad. I want those points so bad, but that is not a fit for our family. We do not spend that much. So we are not going to get a card that forces us to spend more than we already spend in our normal monthly expenses. I know I feel like we're giving like a 101 lesson here, but the point is to be able to earn points with the spending we were already going to do. So if you have a big expense coming up, you have to buy a new washing machine or like big things that you don't normally have to do, well, then this might be a great time for you to get this card. But if you're in a regular spending season of life and this is not something that you can easily do and easily pay off every single month, it's not the right choice for you, and that's totally okay. We don't want anybody going into debt for this hobby.
Absolutely not. It's not a good deal if you go into debt. And I'm going to say something that is a little bit controversial in the points and miles world, but it's not controversial to me. I've kind of made the decision, I don't get business cards unless I have business expenses. I know that anybody can qualify for a business, but a lot of people meet the sign-up bonus with their own personal spending. That's just a choice that I've made, that I'm not going to do that. I just prefer to actually meet the minimum spending requirement based on business expenses. So for me, $8,000 is not, I'm not going to have $8,000 worth of business expenses. But if you run a business and you really have that much, that many expenses, which a lot of bigger businesses do, then man, that's a good card. And it definitely should take some of your attention. You should consider that one strongly. On the personal side of things, there is a popular flexible point personal card that now, this is hot off the press, has an elevated offer, and that's the Capital One Venture card. You hear people talk about both the Venture card and the Venture X. I personally have a Capital One Venture X card. I like the Venture X better between the two of them, but Capital One is notoriously a little weird with their approvals. You may not be approved for a Venture X, but you're approved for a Venture. You know, they do have where you can do some tools to see if you'll be pre-approved. But the new elevated offer for the Venture, if you want to go that route, look at that card. It's 75,000 points, which is their standard sub, their standard sign-up bonus. But the bonus right now, the elevation is you get your 75,000 points plus a $250 travel credit after you spend $4,000 in 3 months. That's pretty nice. It's the standard 75 plus a 250. I mean, that's a big little chunk.
That it is. It does have a $95 annual fee, but keep in mind that this is one of the cards that comes with either TSA or Global Entry, a credit for one of those. It's a $100 credit. So if you are already going to get TSA PreCheck or Global Entry, if you spend the money for the card, the annual fee, that is money you are already going to spend, and then you get all of this extra too. And I want everyone to remember that Capital One points can be used in an interesting way with the purchase eraser. So a little bit different than some of our others where we like to transfer them out. This can allow you to book interesting things like cruises or to buy Disney tickets through Undercover Tourist and erase the purchase that way. So maybe not your best value, but it allows you to book different kinds of travel that are not necessarily always attainable on points. So I find this one to be very, very interesting as well.
Yeah. So that's a lot. That's a quick wrap up and overview. Always double check everything. Make sure that if you are using a link to a sign up bonus that you have the correct link, the right sign up bonus. Remember, don't Google for offers if you don't have to. We would love for you to use our links for cards that we have links for, or use another content creator to, or a friend or family member, so that somebody should get credit for you signing up and not just Googling, and then the banks keep all the credit. Boo.
Absolutely. No, we like to help each other out here. So any links that we do have, we will put in the show notes for this. And then, like you said, if we don't have them, definitely go find a friend, family member, other creator, support somebody. We would like you guys to know that we have a brand new website that you can visit, and that website address is wonderlandonpoints.com. And we will also have a page up there with all of our card links. So it's going to be in the show notes and it's going to be on the website. And we would love for you guys to poke around. Yay! Hooray!
Website.
Wait, I know we've been talking about this for a long time. We knew we needed to do it. And so we finally got it off the ground. We're hoping to keep adding some value there for, you know, different tools and things for you guys to be able to access, itineraries, stuff like that. So just keep your eyes on the website. We will be building. Big thanks to Mary Ellen's husband for getting this off the ground for us. He is the best.
And also on the website, we do have a free credit card consultation form. So if you want help kind of being guided to which credit card might be the right fit for you, then fill out that form and we will get back to you with some ideas.
Absolutely. We are here to help. I think now is a great time to just jump straight into our episode with Kelsey.
Today, we're so excited to be joined by our friend Kelsey from the Trip Tales podcast. She is a travel creator. She is all over Instagram. She is a busy mama from the Nashville area. And Kelsey, we are so excited that you're here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. This is very exciting. I'm often interviewing other people, but this is fun to be on the other side of it.
Yes.
So yes, I live in the Nashville area in Franklin, Tennessee, and I have been in the content creation space for about 12 years, but it's kind of pivoted around. It started in party ideas back when Pinterest was launching and blogs, and I did a lot of party ideas with a website called We Heart Parties that I built. But then I moved more into the general content creation on Instagram. I'm just Kelsey Graves on Instagram. And about 2 years ago, I noticed that the content that was working best for me was travel. We love to travel. It's a big part of our lives anyway. So I was like, you know, I feel like maybe I should niche down and just focus on travel for a little while. So that was about 2 years ago. And it went really well. And it's still going well. And we have fun sharing our travels. And I found myself listening to travel podcasts to help plan my own trips and figure stuff out. I like to absorb a lot of information through my earbuds because I'm a busy mom. I'm always running around in the car doing laundry. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a stab at this. And like all podcasters do, I think I didn't know what I was doing at all. I still kind of don't. And I just kind of took baby steps every single day. Some of my friends were like, you launched a podcast? When was that happening? I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I just kept taking the next baby step, and the Trip Tales podcast was born. And so it really is just a place for people to share about their family trips, their couples trips, where other people can listen in and just kind of get some inspiration for travel or find out what to do, what not to do, where to stay. So I'm publishing my 20th episode today, and that was my goal, to get to 20 episodes. So I'm like, I feel like I did it. We're here, and now I'm excited to keep going. So that's kind of what's going on with me.
That is so, so awesome. Is this your full-time thing? Is this content creation space?
Yes, it is my full-time thing in addition to keeping three tiny humans alive.
I mean, that is more than a full-time thing.
Yes.
What ages are your kiddos?
So I've got a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old. Right now, it's easy to remember because they're all spread out by three, but then it starts changing, you know. But yeah, we've got 6, 9, and 12.
Okay. I have a 12-year-old. Mary Ellen, I think, has some comparable ages to your smaller one. So 12 is a fun age.
Yeah. Do you have a girl or a boy at 12?
Girl.
Same. Yeah. I go girl, boy, girl. Girls
12-year-old
at 12.
Girls.
Yes.
It's so, it's different.
It's a lot.
It's, but it's very fun. It's fun because they're just like a whole person with a whole personality.
Yes.
I'll leave it right there.
Right.
So we know that you do a lot of the more general travel stuff, but you know that we are very much like a points and miles travel podcast. That's how we got started. That's what we're passionate about teaching people about. So tell us a little bit. You guys get into the points and miles a little bit, right?
So we are dipping our toe in it. And there are guests on my podcast who share about their points and miles experiences. And so I was like, I've got to learn about this. So I've been listening to plenty of podcasts, including yours. I was actually listening to your Hyatt episode yesterday, folding laundry, because I'm like eyeing some Hyatt properties. So I'm learning a lot. And it seems like one of those topics where you could literally never stop learning. It's like there's always some little glitch or cool thing you can do. But yes, we have started and we're in it for sure. We are doing some stuff in points and miles.
That is awesome. That's very exciting. We love to hear it.
Now, as a girl from the Southeast, particularly I grew up in South Carolina and the Western North Carolina area, I have long time heard all about a wonderful hotel in the Asheville area, and you guys just stayed at it and you stayed on points, and that's the Grove Park Inn. So we want to hear all about the Grove Park Inn today, because that was always growing up, that was a place that people went on special anniversary trips. They would go to the spa there. I mean, it was kind of thought of to be this magical little escape in Asheville. So tell us all about the Grove Park Inn and how you paid for it on points.
Yes, the Grove Park Inn definitely feels like a special celebratory place. We had never been before, and it was on our list. And so it was my husband's 40th birthday, and we have a lot going on right now. Like I said, we've got three little kids. He's starting a business. It was just not the time to take some huge out-of-the-country trip. So we wanted to figure out something easy and local that we might not need even flights for. He was like, I don't want to sit on a beach in Mexico and just drink and eat all day. And I was like, I do, but this is your 40th. So what do you want to do? And he wanted to be active. He wanted to be in the mountains. So we kind of landed on Grove Park Inn because it's drivable from Nashville. It's just a 5-hour drive. It feels and looks super special. We'd never been, and there's a lot we could do active there. So we landed on Grove Park Inn, and for the points and miles that we're in right now, we have two Southwest credit cards. We actually had two companion passes for a while on each one. We were really good about that. And then one has now fallen off, but one like renewed and we didn't know why that one did. And the other, anyhow, we've got Southwest credit cards with a companion pass, which is awesome. And then we have the Chase Sapphire Preferred credit card, which I've heard on so many podcasts like yours, that that's a great one to get started with if you're just trying to figure it out. So we've had that for about a year now, and we got the bonus offer on that. And then we use it for a ton. I use it for a lot of my spending. So a lot of grocery dining, which is really good for that card. So we had accumulated about 91,000 points on that card that we were ready to spend. Now, when we booked this trip, I did not know about transfer points yet. That is a whole new thing. And I'm like, oh, the best value is to transfer these points out. But now I know that. So at the time, I was like, what you're supposed to do is go to the portal and look up what you want to do on the portal. Cause that's, you know, kind of the first thing they kind of feed you when you get into these cards.
Yes.
So I was like, ooh, let's look if the Omni Grove Park Inn is in the portal. And it was. So I was like, sweet, jackpot. Now you guys can probably answer this question. After the fact and learning about transferable points, was like, shoot, did I leave some points on the table, some money on the table? But it looks like I can't transfer out to Omnis.
Correct. Yeah, okay. You cannot. So you wouldn't have had an option, I don't think, to transfer and book unless Omnis are part of one
That's
of the bigger
–
I don't think they are. I was looking into that and I'm like, oh, phew, maybe I actually, another thing I'm trying to learn in the points and miles space is that people say, don't get too in the weeds about the best redemption. Like, do what you need to do for your life right now. And like, we wanted and needed to do that. So part of me is like, that was a great way to use those points because this is something we were going to do and we had the points sitting right there in the portal.
We say that all the time because it really is about like making those dreams and making those memories. And it's really okay if you didn't get like the max cents per point there. When I come on your podcast to talk Orlando, I got the Universal Studios tickets in the portal. It was not a great redemption, but I didn't pay for the tickets out of pocket. So I think even though now you know like the real value is in that transfer out, and that's really exciting when you can do that and get a great deal, it's still so exciting that you were able to do this on points.
Yeah, and doing a quick research operation, I can confirm that Omni is not part of a major hotel chain. So booking it through the portal was awesome. You guys did good.
Great. So I did it right. Okay.
You did.
So I will share some numbers. So I had 91,419 points available in my on my Chase card. And when I looked up at the hotel at the time, it was running about $700 a night. And we booked well in advance, at least 6 months in advance. So for our total stay, it was going to be about $1,400. And when I went through and used our points, and then we just needed a little bit more to cover off, we didn't have full coverage on the points, it was $293 plus my 91,419 points. And we didn't book just a standard room. There are standard rooms that are a little bit more outdated. And then there are slightly, there's all the rooms are still a little, it's a historic hotel. They're not like brand spanking new renovated.
Right.
But we were in a premium room, which is in one of the two nicer towers. It's called the Vanderbilt Tower or the Simone's Tower. So we were guaranteed to be in one of the nicer towers with a mountain view king bed. So it was called like a premium king mountain view room. And so at the end of the day, my credit card, which was charged $293 for this stay instead of $1,400. So I was like, sweet, this is a great way to use all these points that we've accumulated.
Yes, especially considering you guys are new to points and miles for the most part. And when you think about the world before points and miles of using debit cards for things, you know, getting absolutely nothing. And here you guys got, you know, $1,000, over $1,000 off this wonderful stay at a historic hotel. So I think that's fabulous.
Yes, I agree. I was so excited about it. And we also did stay one night. So when we first drove over to Asheville, we decided we wanted to make it a longer trip, three nights to really kind of feel like we had a getaway. But we didn't want to add one more night onto this hotel because it's so expensive. So we drove over from Nashville and stayed the first night, Thursday night, in downtown Asheville at the Kimpton Arras. I think it's A-R-R-A-S. It was phenomenal. That was not booked on points or miles, but it is a very nice hotel, brand spanking new. It was $228 a night, so not too expensive for like a couple's getaway. I would highly recommend that hotel as well, just because the rooms were like so comfortable, industrial chic, still had a mountain view. They had like a happening bar and restaurant. It's dog friendly. There were all these couples with their cute little dogs. So, and it's walkable to everything in downtown Asheville. So night one, we stayed there and walked downtown Asheville, popped in all the boutiques, all the little restaurants. A lot of the breweries have tasting rooms downtown. So we kind of got that brewery vibe. So that is a great first stop, or you could do your entire trip there because it is a very cool, nice, comfortable hotel.
Yeah, and Kimpton's are fantastic. Yeah, Kimpton's are an IHG hotel, which transfers, you know, Chase points can transfer to IHG. Sometimes they aren't the best redemption, not maybe as good as Hyatt, but Kimpton's in general, people absolutely love. And so I think that's a great opportunity for a transfer. And IHG cards, I'll remind people as well, we talked about this at the top of the show, but IHG cards have right now a sign-up bonus of 5 free nights. Now, depending on the Kimpton, some of the Kimptons are too expensive to be covered by those free night certificates. They can cover a night up to about 60,000 points, but some Kimptons do qualify. Depends on maybe the time of year, because of their dynamic pricing that changes. So just want to throw that out there for everyone. If you're interested in staying at a Kimpton, look at Chase cards, but also look at the IHG card.
Yeah, this would be, I would guess based on the price point that this one would work for that redemption. And again, Asheville was so cool and funky and artsy, and it just felt like such a fun first stop on our getaway. I highly recommend this hotel. We popped into this brewery called Dissolver. It's all capital letters. It's like D-S-S-L-V-R, like no vowels, all capital letters. But I had read that it was a really cool tasting room, and it was, even though it's downtown, it was massive. And the cool thing about Dissolver that I really liked that first night was my husband's into beers and breweries and I'm not so much. But I always feel so lame at a brewery when I'm like, do you have anything else?
And they're like, any wine.
Yeah. Yes. And so they were like, oh yeah, next door, it's still part of their whole operation. They have a cocktail bar and a wine bar. And I was like, sweet. So he got his beers and I got an espresso martini. And it was just such a great place to like kick off the trip because they had something for everyone, a lot of outdoor seating and greenery. So that was a really cool first stop.
That sounds amazing. I haven't been to Asheville since I was a teen, and I remember loving it mostly because of the Biltmore Estate, which is like one of my favorite places on earth. But I feel like going back as an adult now, there's so much to explore. And I love that you started like in the downtown and then kind of moved to,
yeah, to our relaxing retreat.
Yes, yes. So let's talk through that hotel. Tell us about your favorite things. You guys, I think you did the spa. Like, we want to really know about the food and the whole experience.
Yes. So we had a car, obviously, because we had driven over from Nashville. So even pulling around the corner, you're kind of in these like hilly, wooded areas of Asheville, and you pull around this corner and it's like, I was like, I got to get my phone out. This is so overwhelmingly amazing. It is one of the most unique architectural hotels I've ever seen in my life. It is like a million bouldery rocks stacked on top of each other, not matched together in any way. I'm kind of like, how did they do this? It looks like something out of a J.R.R. Tolkien novel. Like, you kind of feel like it would be a hobbit house, but it's too big to be a hobbit house. Like, it is just the most unique architecture, very rocky and bouldery with this droopy red roof. And it's just incredible. Like, it is so cool to pull up to. And then you walk into the main lobby and it's these massive ceilings, the biggest fireplace I've ever seen in my life. Again, with these massive stacked boulders that are just kind of like mismatched. The fireplace is rolling no matter what time of year to give that like cozy, crackly feel. There's like huge Adirondack rocking chairs, tons of them, like 12 of them around this fireplace because the fireplace is so big and people are like rocking and chatting with their families. And then there's just tons of lounge furniture, a huge historical bar in the corner that's constantly like serving drinks to people. It is just, you feel like you go back in time. It was built in 1913 and it just feels so historic and so special, and like a lot of like important conversations have happened there. Just yes. Even initially getting into the hotel, I was like, this place is amazing.
I have goosebumps from this description. Like, I must go. That yes. is amazing. And you I not go. Being from that side of the country, I'm in the Midwest. I didn't know this place existed. I've never heard of it. So,
oh my gosh, put it on your list.
It's on the list. I already wanted to take my family to Asheville because they've never been to the Biltmore Estate. So yes. Now we have more things to see and do.
Yes. And they're famous for their gingerbread houses, which is a really cool thing to do at Christmas time, which would be fun with a family. They display all these gingerbread houses, and they had like a little Christmas in July where they had the top three winners of their gingerbread contest were still kind of on display throughout the hotel. So that was pretty cool. And what we did on this first day, which I think this is kind of a nice tip, is since we did want to do the spa and we wanted a lot of time there because it's a famous spa, the indoor outdoor areas to hang out in are really cool. They're kind of looks like you're in like these rocky caves. Is even though we knew check-in might be at 4 p.m. that Friday that we drove over there in the morning, we booked our spa appointments for 10:45 a.m. so that even if our room wasn't ready, we could spend the whole day at that hotel down in the spa and still kind of get a full extra day there.
Brilliant.
Again, this spa is very popular, so I called 6 months in advance to make these spa appointments. And it is pricey. This was a celebratory 40th birthday, but my husband isn't like a huge spa person. He would never book a spa experience like by himself, but he doesn't mind a full day relaxing and he loves a massage. He wasn't feeling a massage this time though. I'd looked at the day pass. The day pass was almost just as expensive as a treatment. I want to say it was like $200, if not a bit more. So I was like, you might as well get a treatment if the day pass is that expensive. And I was like, I'm not a massage girl because sometimes I'm like, I don't need someone touching me that much, but I love a facial because you still get a massage. You still get a hand and arm and neck massage, and then you leave with your face glowing. They had a gentleman's facial, and I was like, you need to try this, to my husband. And he's like, all right, I'm game to try a gentleman's facial. It's so funny to think about him in a facial because he's like wears hats and has a beard. And but he absolutely loved it. So we booked 2 80-minute facials. I had the brightening facial and he had the gentleman's facial. And we were in separate rooms. It wasn't like a couple's thing, but they start by putting paraffin wax on your hands and feet in those baggies.
I love that.
And then, yes. And then they did this whole brightening facial for me, which I loved because my face was like tingling at different times. And I'm like, oh, we're using medical grade stuff. Like, this is not just a little face scrub. Like, something's working. I also liked the brightening facial because they didn't do extractions, which sometimes I'm a little like, okay, I don't need someone like digging into my face today.
It hurts so bad. You're like, this is not relaxing.
Yes, my husband got him and he didn't know what to expect because he's never gotten one. He was like, my eye hurts so bad. She was digging into this spot. I'm like, oh, sorry. I forgot to warn you about the extraction part. But
like, beauty of pain.
Yes, I'm 41 now. I don't have as many breakouts as I used to. So I'm like, let's skip the extraction. So anyhow, we had a lovely 80-minute facial. And then you meet back up in kind of the general area. So there's a separate women's and men's waiting room area. And this isn't just any waiting room. Again, there are little fireplaces crackling. There's huge leather furniture. It just feels so cozy, like high-end cozy. And in the women's waiting area, there was an indoor-outdoor area. So you were indoors for part of it. Or I stepped outside while I was waiting for my esthetician to come get me. And you're overlooking the Blue Ridge Mountains. There's like water features trickling. I sat on a chair with the sun on my face. And I was like, if no one came to get me this whole day, I would still be so happy.
Yes. Perfect.
But came to get me, had my facial, and then we met back up in our spa robes. We had worn swimsuits for the day. And the inside area is, there's probably 6 different like pools or hot tubs with like waterfalls going into them and all these rocks. And it just kind of like is very conducive to like couples chatter. Like there's all these little spots like by a little fireplace with 2 chairs or, you know, a hot tub with a waterfall coming into it. So we spent some time in the hot tubs, in the more like room temperature water pools, mineral pools, floating. There were a lot of couples, a lot of mom and daughter trips, a lot of girls trips. And then we made our way outside, which the outside area has all of these lounge chairs. It overlooks the Blue Ridge Mountains again. It's just so breathtaking every direction you look. They have poolside food and drink service there. We ordered some avocado toast and a chicken Santa Fe wrap, and those were both delicious. The only weird thing about the outdoor area, we would have stayed there all day, is that the pool in the center of it, it's small and it is a hot, hot tub. So we are like, I'm sure in the fall and spring, it's lovely, but it was like 89 degrees in the sun. And then you're like, you'd watch people go over there and dip their toe in and go, oh, like that's really hot. I don't want to get in that right now. So that was the only negative, is I was like, I wish that pool was cold right now. But we had a lovely time relaxing there for a little while. The other one thing to note is that there are no electronic devices allowed. Like you have to sign your life away on these forms that you will not get out a phone. You will not get out AirPods. To the point it even said no e-readers. And they told my husband no e-readers. And he was reading a book on his Kindle. And it's like, you can't even take a picture on a Kindle, I don't think.
No.
So that was a little like,
I don't get
that. I had a physical book with me, but he was like, I guess I'll read through some of the resort, you know, brochures.
Oh, no. That is really good to know, because everybody's, who was not going to bring their Kindle to a spa? That's, I don't travel with paper books because I want lots of options.
So bring a paper book to that spa if you want to relax there all day. And so for that reason, we chilled for an hour at that spa. And then we were like, let's go find the regular resort pool so that we can, you know, he could use his e-reader and, you know, have some time on his, with his book. So we were sad to say goodbye to the spa, but we had had our time and we went to go find the resort pool. This is another thing to know. We'd looked at the map. We're like, okay, resort pool is down here by the golf course. We start walking. And we are walking and walking. And I mean, it is like 12 minutes at this point, up and down some resort hills. We are like sweating and we're in good shape. We were just like, where is this pool? We're like at some point on the golf course. It's like, there's a sign that says, watch out for flying golf balls. I am like, where is this pool? And so we finally get there. And what I learned is that the Omni Grove Park also has a country club for the locals in Asheville. That is the resort, the only main resort pool and golf course is also this country club. It's a little bit removed from the main hotel. So we finally get there. It's nice. It's fine. It's a big, huge pool. It's a big rectangular pool. There's nothing special about it. There is food and drink service, but we loved it. We read our books. We ordered some drinks by the pool. There is a little kind of like screened in porch bar and grill, but you kind of feel like you're in the country club people's space. Like you could tell they all knew each other. The kids all know each other. The families were chit chatting about their weeks. And even when you show up, they're like, are you a hotel guest or are you a country club member? So I feel like that, you know, you don't have that same vibe as like the resort pool where everyone's a resort guest and you're getting catered to like hotel members.
Yeah.
And for that reason, you were talking about bringing your kids there. I decided on this trip, I probably wouldn't bring my kids to this hotel because it's, so we learned you're supposed to take a shuttle. Later in the weekend, we took the shuttle. It's a, like a 5 to 7 minute full shuttle ride to get to the pool. And if like a kid needs to go back to the room for something or forgot something, you can't just pop back in. You know, we've got 12 year olds now.
Right.
I'll let my 12 year old go back up to the room and chill for a little bit sometimes on vacations.
Yes.
That wasn't going to be happening.
Right.
So that is a weird thing that the resort pool is so far away. And I was like, noted for like future trips, or you could go in the winter where you're not worried about the resort pool, but that was just kind of like a weird touch. But anyhow, we had a great time at the resort pool and, you know, I ordered my white wine there and my husband had his ranch waters and we had a lovely time with the Asheville Country Club members.
Hey guys, we're going to get right back to the rest of this episode. But before we do, we have a request.
Look, if you've ever gotten any value from this show and you want it to continue to grow and to continue to serve you and have access to guests, if you could leave us a rating and a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that would be completely amazing.
These ratings and reviews go such a long way into attracting new podcast listeners and helping us bring guests on the show. It makes us so excited to hear how we are helping all of you reach your travel goals.
It really does. And if you're feeling up to it, take a screenshot of your review after you post it and share it to your own Instagram. And don't forget to tag us at Wonderland on Points Podcast. We would love to reshare it in our own stories.
Yes, we sure would. And if you haven't already, go ahead and leave that rating and a review right now. Okay, let's get back to the show. That is so awkward. I have never heard of a hotel and country club combined like that. That's very unique.
Yes.
Maybe not ideal, but you guys, thankfully, now everyone knows.
Yes.
You made the
best
of it. And
so it was great. And so then we got into our room once we had relaxed by the resort pool, and the room was great. I liked it. It is a historic hotel, so the rooms are slightly dated. When I was posting about our trip on Instagram, I had someone, you know, send me a DM that said, I love that hotel, but I just can't pay those prices for the room. And I was like, fair. That is something that I need to share because it is not like the bed at the Kimpton was way more comfortable and luxurious than this bed, but it was clean. It was very spacious. It was comfortable. Our, you know, you open the blinds and it is just Blue Ridge Mountains for miles. And so for me, I was happy to be on the property and stay at that historic hotel, do the spa, have the amenities of the restaurants and everything else. So I would stay there again. But just know the rooms aren't like brand new, renovated, state of the art.
I feel like there are, that's like two different kinds of people. Like some people stay for the room and I feel like some people stay for the property. We went to a hotel in Chicago, the Chicago Athletic Association Hotel. The property itself on the inside of the building is just like the most opulent, the most extraordinary. Like I got up early every morning to sit in the lobby with all the woodwork and the fireplaces, but the rooms were very underwhelming and very dated and not super comfortable and, you know, just nothing fancy. But it's so – I would go back a million times because I right. loved the property and what it had to offer. So I get that some people are all about that, like, comfortable, modern, all the newest things in the room. But that is not me. So this place sounds great to me.
Yeah. So that night we ate at, I would say, their most probably famous restaurant. It's called the Sunset Terrace. And this is, if you, you know, walk into the main lobby, you see the beautiful fireplaces and the beautiful furniture and you just go straight out back. This is a terrace that is outdoors and overlooks the property in the mountains. And it is just stunning. And you do need to make a reservation for here. We made a reservation in advance. But it is like their fancy hotel restaurant. And since it was summer and it's Eastern time, the sun sets at 8:45 right now there. So I was sure to like Google what time the sun set, make our reservation during sunset. So we had an 8 p.m. reservation and the food was phenomenal. We got like jumbo shrimp cocktail to start and it was delicious. Yum. And then my husband got sea bass and it was a huge fillet of sea bass. I got crab cakes and then we shared whipped potatoes and asparagus. And it was just like one of those special fancy hotel dinners. Definitely not cheap, but it was, you know, the 40th birthday celebration and we watched the sunset. It was a little hazy and the sun doesn't set right over the mountains. It's off kind of behind the hotel this time of year. So it wasn't like the most amazing sunset, but I think it was just the weather. But still, the sun setting over the mountains and sitting outside and watching kind of the hustle and bustle of the hotel, because it goes down a bunch of steps and there's a lot of other terraces where people are getting drinks or hanging out with their little cute families. And so it was just a lovely dinner. I highly recommend Sunset Terrace.
That sounds great. Is it mostly seafood or you guys just opted?
There were a
for
lot
seafood?
Of steaks too. It, okay. It was kind of like a steak and seafood type menu, but we were in a seafood mood apparently. That's all we ordered.
Sounds delicious. I didn't eat breakfast before we recorded this podcast. So if you can hear my stomach, it keeps chiming in every so often. I'm starving.
Yeah, me too. Especially talking about this, but I have to share what we did after dinner because it was our favorite part of this hotel and I would go back just for this.
Oh so, my gosh.
In the basement is a dueling piano bar that is open Thursday through Sunday from like 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. It's called Elaine's. That was my grandma's name, Elaine.
Aww.
So you take the elevator down to floor E for Elaine, and it's the only thing down there. And it is like you step back in time. There are rows of these leather chairs lined up. There are two white pianos facing each other. These amazing dueling pianists going back and forth with all the people's requests. It's all, you know, Sweet Caroline and all these like great old songs people are requesting. A lot of like college songs like Rocky Top or Sweet Home Alabama. They also have a phrase of the night on this big mirror behind their two pianos where you can pay like $25 to be like, I love Samantha. We just got engaged. Or then someone will trumpet with like $35 and say, Rocky Top, Tennessee is the best school in the world or whatever. And then, you know, someone else will trumpet it. You know, we just got married. So it's fun because the piano players are making a bunch of money through all these tips. You can Venmo in your phrase of the night. And then every once in a while, they get up and erase it and we'll write the new one out. And it was so fun. I was like, I feel like this is what people were doing in 1913 here. Just good old fashioned music fun. Like
that's amazing.
We had the best time. The servers are incredible. They are constantly running around with their trays, like, what can I get you? What can I get you? It's, I didn't see any food there. I think it's mostly like a cocktail drink lounge. But we had so much fun there. We didn't make it till 1 a.m. when it shuts down, but we came pretty close. We were like 11:30 or midnight, both nights we were there. So Elaine's Dueling Piano Bar is just so fun. No kids, obviously. It's like an adults only place, but
for sure,
it was a great time.
That is amazing. I have not been to a dueling piano bar in probably 15 years. And I still remember that being such a good experience. So definitely like such a fun thing to find in the basement of a hotel too.
Yes.
I did not expect that.
That's so unique.
Yes. Everything about this hotel is just like unique and cool and special. Oh, when you're walking to your rooms, like lining all the hallways are all these portraits of famous people that have stayed there, like all these presidents and famous actors and actresses and all these influential people. So you can kind of like see at one point it was like Misha Barton and I'm like, oh, Misha Barton from the OC was here. Like, I'm like, I don't know where they draw the line from like president to actress, but there are tons of pictures of famous people that have stayed there. And a lot of history. So there'll be like a model of the hotel and how it was built and some information about it. So you can constantly be like learning while you're there too.
I love that so much. This is back to the piano bar for a second, but is the sound, does it travel like through the floors?
No, you're so far in the basement that I think you're under the main lobby. So there's no guest rooms right there. And you can't really hear it in the lobby. It's its own thing tucked away in its own area. So you gotta go seek it out.
Yeah. Amazing.
I love the connection to your grandma too, with it being called Elaine's. That's just such a special little extra touch.
I love that so much. Did you guys eat breakfast at this hotel? Because I feel like hotel breakfast is like something we talk about a lot on this podcast. So we have to know if you did.
So they have the typical breakfast buffet that I wanted to do on the last day because it's supposed to be really good, but we did not. So they had a marketplace that had all the coffees and grab and go sandwiches and that sort of thing. We ended up grabbing like breakfast wraps from there quickly. So we didn't. We love a hotel breakfast too. But on day two, when we woke up, we wanted to go out hiking in like the Blue Ridge Mountains all day. So it was like we were like up and out. We grabbed a breakfast wrap. It was great. It was like an egg breakfast wrap and our coffees. And we hit the road and we had talked to the concierge because we didn't really know where to go. And they were like, it's kind of hard because you can go north of Asheville or you can go south of Asheville. And we were kind of like, you tell me. I have no idea. I should have done a little bit more research. But we found out that the highest point east of the Mississippi called Mount Mitchell is north of Asheville. And my husband thought that was really cool to, you know, go to the highest point in the United States east of the Mississippi River. So we were like, we'll go north. And the concierge circle, they have maps so you can ask them and they'll just kind of like circle some spots. So we decided to do three little hikes. They weren't huge. We've spent many days hiking more than this, but we were kind of like, we did it. And, you know, this is a relaxing trip, so we aren't going to like break our backs. But we mapped ourselves to an area called Craggy Gardens, which is really popular. And you just kind of park off the side of the road and there's a big sign. And this was a good introductory hike. My kids could do it, but it still was a moderate one. Like there were a lot of big rocks that you have to kind of very like a lot of elevation. You're climbing up these big rocks almost the whole time. So there were a lot of people taking breaks. It's not like hands and feet, like bouldering, but it still was a lot of incline and rocks. And then you end in this clearing that has a lot of wildflowers and you can see the mountains. And in June, they're famous for the rhododendron bushes and flowers that are all bloomed there. We had just missed them because we were there in July, but there's a lot of talk about how gorgeous that is if you go up on this hike in June. So you just end up in this gorgeous clearing. There's some big trees and some benches, and there were like people with their dogs playing off leash up there. It was a really pretty hike. So that was our first hike and we really liked it. It's about a mile up. We relaxed at the top, had some water and some trail mix, and then hiked the mile back to our car. And then we drove up just a little bit farther to what was called the Craggy Pinnacle Hike. This whole area is called Craggy because all the trees are kind of growing in these like gnarly ways, which is also really cool. The Craggy Pinnacle Hike was our favorite. This is another moderate 1 mile hike, but it is quite steep. So there's a lot of people taking breaks along it, but it's totally doable. My kids could do it, I think. My six-year-old might complain a little bit, but this one had a gorgeous lookout peak where it's kind of like they've built this viewing area when you get to the top and you can see so far. There's a park ranger up there kind of telling you what you're looking at in every direction. It's definitely the spot for like a photo or a video on a GoPro. Like you can get all the cool hiking content up there. That was our favorite one. We highly recommend the Craggy Pinnacle Hike. And then we made our way up just a little farther again. It was probably like a 30 to 40 minute drive, then a 10 minute drive, and then another 20 minutes or so to Mount Mitchell. And what was cool about Mount Mitchell is you think if you need to summit this, the highest point east of the Mississippi, it's going to be like really challenging.
Sure.
They have like built that place out. You drive almost all the way up and you park in this massive parking lot. They've got a gift shop. They've got a little museum teaching you all about the Blue Ridge Mountains. They've got a snack shack with Gatorades and chips. All of this is dog friendly. So tons of people with dogs and kids. And then you kind of walk up this wide, paved, but very steep. You kind of finish summiting the mountain. And there was even someone in there in a wheelchair. It would be hard to push a wheelchair or a stroller because it's quite steep, but there were people doing it. So anyone can summit this mountain.
That's
so
awesome.
You kind of, you know, you're out of breath. It's very steep, kind of going up a curve or two. And then again, there's this big built out viewing area. There are all these maps with all these peaks. You can see forever. I think you can see into other states. And there's little maps showing like, this is the peak of this mountain. This is the plateau over here. So you can kind of see what you're looking at. There's park rangers up there helping you. So that was really cool as well to get a picture at the top of the highest point east of the Mississippi.
That is very cool. That sounds amazing. And we've just recently had an episode on accessible travel. So it's
awesome.
To hear.
This would be accessible for sure.
Yes.
Another cool thing about the Mount Mitchell area is they just opened a restaurant up there, kind of like the it's a state park, Mount Mitchell State Park, just opened a restaurant. And we had heard from other hikers that it was really great, like a lot of soups and sandwiches. And we were so pumped. It was like 1 p.m. We just had our breakfast wraps and they had just closed. They were like, the parking lot's too full.
No.
There were rangers with like their lights and they're like, there's no one in right now. We got to wait a while. And we were like, oh, so we had to drive an hour all the way back because we'd made our way north for so long. But I recommend trying that restaurant because we heard it was awesome. And you can like still see the view of the mountains and everything because you're so high up.
That's nice.
But we made our way back an hour back to our beautiful hotel. It wasn't the worst place to be driving to. And we ate at another one of their popular restaurants called Edison's, which was great because a lot of the restaurants at the Omni Grove Park Inn are so like nice and fancy that they'll have their breakfast service and then they close while they're preparing for their lunch service. And then they close again while but Edison's is open all day long. And it's another terrace restaurant that overlooks the mountains, gorgeous views, huge outdoor patio and an indoor area. And it's kind of got like a little bit of a sports bar, but high end vibe. So we got like a salmon Caesar salad and a burger and fries and just kind of shared it all and had a hearty lunch after our hikes. But that was a great restaurant to hit up like any time of day, breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
That's awesome. That's very helpful. So this was day two.
Yes.
And then you ended the evening again at Elaine's.
Yes. So we actually went off property for dinner because we had gotten recommendations for this great sushi restaurant back in downtown Nashville. And we had eaten at the hotel enough. So we were like, ooh, let's go there. It was called Green Tea. And what was great about it is my husband had gotten the recommendation from a friend and he was like, I've eaten sushi all over the world. This is the best sushi in my opinion. He's like, it's nothing to look at. It's like in a strip mall. I love like a sushi place in a strip mall that like secretly is so good. And the bottles of wine were like $22. My husband was like, we should have been eating here every night. And the sushi rolls were so affordable and so fresh and so delicious. So we ate at Green Tea. We also heard from a lot of locals that Wasabi is another great, affordable, like secret sushi restaurant. So we had fun going back into downtown Asheville. And then we went back and we were like so excited to get to Elaine's. We were like, we got to get back to our piano bar. So spent another evening there just like singing and having some beverages and enjoying our night. So we just had the best time. The hotel feels so special and celebratory. And there are so many people there celebrating special things. There's a lot of weddings going on while you're there. A lot of different wedding areas. We saw like brides and grooms and at Elaine's. It's really funny because both nights around like 10:30 or 11, the wedding parties start rolling in because their receptions have ended and they're all in like their tuxes and, you know, their bow ties are unbuttoned and it's like, oh, here's the wedding party. And so like it kind of kicks the vibe up a notch when all the wedding parties get there. But I highly recommend this hotel. It is such a special place. I'd love to go back at Christmas. I've heard it's decorated really beautifully with Christmas trees and the gingerbread houses. So I think that would be a really cool time to visit as well.
That sounds very special. I love anything Christmas themed. Did you do anything else in Asheville? Like, you know, I brought up
Biltmore.
Did you go? Because like maybe people listening don't know what it is and need to know about it. I don't know.
Yes. So we did not hit up the Biltmore this time because my husband and I both went as teens. We want to go back, but he didn't want to spend like an afternoon touring a huge mansion. I would have loved to. We figured we'll go back with our kids to do that because it's such a memory, you know, going to the Biltmore for the first time. So we had so much fun on this trip that I'm like, we're going to go back with our kids. We saw lots of whitewater rafting signs as we were driving through the mountains.
Ooh.
So we're like, ooh, whitewater rafting. the Biltmore, maybe only go over to the Omni Grove Park Inn for something special, like an afternoon or a dinner, but stay somewhere a little bit more family. I mean, it's very family friendly. There were tons of cute families there, but again, it's expensive. And, but so we did not do the Biltmore, but I'm so glad you love it. And I will be back soon.
Yes. Well, this sounds like it had enough in it to be the most amazing trip anyways. I won't feel sad for you that you didn't see the Biltmore.
It was an amazing trip.
Yeah. I think it sounds even better. I think I romanticized that place in my head as a child. I wonder if I would like it as much now or if it's just like a memory.
It's still incredible.
Okay. So, I hope so. I don't want to be disappointed.
There's Joanna, like the whole Biltmore Village. There's a winery there. You can spend, and that was the thing. It was like, that was going to be a whole day if we did it.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. It's over $100 a person. So I feel like we'll go back with our kids.
I don't know if it costs that when I was a kid, because I have a very hard time expecting or believing that my parents would have paid that. And I remember at the time there was a tour where you got to tour the secret passages and it was more money. And they said, absolutely no way. So it was always a dream of mine to go back and tour the secret passages. But I did not realize it was that expensive.
Yeah, so. It's expensive.
I don't think I've ever told you this, Joanna. I actually, when I was a kid, there was a year of our lives that we had year-long passes to the Biltmore Estate. Because I grew up, you know, within 2 hours of the Biltmore. And so we went at Christmas, we went in the spring, in the fall, we just went all the seasons. And I have such special memories. I remember taking one of my best friends growing up. His name was Kyle. His name is Kyle. Still with us. I remember taking my friend Kyle and we took walkie-talkies and we were kids. We were little, but we were pretending we were security guards at the Biltmore House. Like, I just have so many unique and fun childhood memories at the Biltmore State. But it's been since that year that we had annual pass that I've been there. So it's been a long time. So yes, I do think it's probably pricier now because my parents also would not have dropped a pretty penny on year-long passes if it was really expensive when we were children. But it just gets more beautiful, I think, these days. It's so well kept. The gardens are exquisite. I mean, it's definitely a great stop for people when they're visiting Asheville.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kids these days haven't seen the movie Richie Rich, but a lot of us watched it growing up. And so for us, it was like, this is the Richie Rich house.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Oh my gosh. I tried to force my kids to watch it recently. I've like been like, you need to watch Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Richie Rich. Yes. We're like on this kick. And within 15 minutes, they're like, can we turn it off? Because you watch these old movies and they're so slow. Like it takes so long to get to like the cool parts of Richie Rich. And now they're like bombarded with, you know, entertainment 24/7.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm like, just wait, it gets better. And we lost them. And I'm like, oh, man.
I've had that same experience trying to make my daughter watch Candle Shoe, the Jodie Foster movie. I was like, I promise this movie is so amazing. There's treasure. There's secret passage. No, it's too slow. Too slow.
Yeah, I know.
It's very sad, especially with Disney now where you can like access all the old stuff on Disney Plus and they don't want to watch any of it. Disappointing.
Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for joining us, for telling us all about your trip to Asheville. I do think this is going to inspire some people to take a trip. And being that I have grown up near the Asheville area, I have actually never been to the Grove Park Inn. And the way you've described it makes me realize this is a total mistake that I have not been there and I need to make it happen because it sounds so incredible. And I'm glad to know that it can be booked if I want through the portal with points. So there is a way to book that non-major chain hotel with points. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. This has been amazing. You did such a good job painting a picture of all of these experiences. Like I can really fully visualize and kind of feel like I was there. So now I feel like just one more on my long list of bucket list trips that just keeps growing and I don't have enough years in my life to achieve all of them, but it's fine. It's fine.
I know. It definitely was a memorable celebratory trip. And the whole time we just kept saying, we're so glad we took this trip. So I highly recommend it, especially for like an anniversary or a special birthday. Yeah. It definitely feels like a special adult trip.
I love that.
For anyone, I'll just throw this in here at the end. You guys drove from Nashville. If anyone wants to fly into the Asheville area, Asheville does have a nice regional airport. Allegiant Airlines has a hub in Asheville, so there's a lot of affordable Allegiant flights. Most of the other major carriers you can fly to Asheville. I will say the only one that doesn't fly to Asheville right now is Southwest, which is a little frustrating, but it flies into Greenville, South Carolina. That airport code is GSP, and that is less than an hour up to the Asheville area. So if you want to fly Southwest to Asheville, look at Greenville Spartanburg International Airport. You could drive over from Charlotte as well, but that would be a little further. But Asheville Airport is a great option for most airlines, and then GSP would be the next best option.
Yes, very, very important to know because a lot of people live not within driving distance, although what a lovely place to be able to drive to. That's so nice. Before we wrap up, I want you to remind everyone where to find you on the internet, your podcast, Instagram, website, if you have it, all the things. And then also give us a little shout out of a travel creator that you think people should follow.
Okay. So I am just my name, Kelsey_Graves on Instagram, and I have the Trip Tales podcast. You can just search Trip Tales wherever you listen to podcasts. There's also a website, triptalespodcast.com, that kind of has all the episodes and links to things. Oh my gosh, and a travel creator that I love. I'm like trying to think. There's so many I follow. You know, okay, this one's so random. I don't know if you guys follow her, but she came to mind, so I just have to share it. There is a girl named Bethany, I think it's like Vitton, V-I-T-T-O-N, on Instagram, and her whole spiel is she's trying to eat at every restaurant in Disney World.
That's amazing.
Every quick service. And for some reason, I just kind of love that she'll share the good, the bad, and the ugly. She'll be like, these are five things I would never eat at Disney World again. And we're not even like a huge Disney World family. We go like once every few years, maybe. But for some reason, she's like, and she lives in Oregon, but she'll fly to, she's got hundreds of thousands of followers at this point. And she's like, I'm back to eat at like the newly opened da da da. And she'll show everything she's eating. I just love how she creates content. And it just keeps me up to date on all the cool restaurants in Disney World.
Honestly, I love that. Before we went to Universal, all the food places I wanted to try were from Instagram. So I kind of love planning your trip and your food experiences that way.
Yeah,
so
they have a podcast too. It's called The Main Street Dish, which is cute because like Disney's cute. Main Street. Yeah, and they talk all – it's all about food at Disney. So I think it's just kind of a cute niche.
Yeah.
And then there's three of them that have their own Instagram accounts where they share their own eating experiences at Disney World.
Okay. That is so cute. I love that. We will link her in our show notes for everybody. We will link all of your stuff in the show notes for everybody. And we're so thankful to have you here today. It's been a lot of fun.
It was so great to be here. And I'm so excited to have both of you on the Trip Tales podcast soon, hearing about your vacation. So we're just going to keep these conversations going.
Absolutely. We cannot wait. It is fun to be on the other side of the microphone, as you said at the top.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new Travel Rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.